This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. The show, I know what you guys know what it's about already. We've got lots of traction out there with social media and the web pages and things like that. The show is about reporting about disasters and mitigating disasters and collateral damage from disasters and the externals and things that the intangibles and tangibles that are not seen at the beginning of a disaster or prior to a disaster happening. And you know, disasters are come in many forms. I'm not going to go down the. We've been doing the intro for such a long time now, but it's regarding property. It's regarding business continuity. Different experts in different areas and disciplines in the restoration world and the business continuity side, with public and private experts. We're just going to roll right into it today. You know what? Let's back up a second. My thoughts are already starting to roll too quickly. I gotta keep on reminding myself that I get ahead of myself. Want to thank last week's guest, Joel from Seas. That was a good portion because it comes on. It came just after speaking with George. Now George got some good comments regarding George experiences a fire at his house. I was called in, and I had George on only because, not because, hey, I did the job and I did a good job and things like that. That's not what I was talking about. What I was really talking about was George's experience in going through a fire. And we'll have some good candidates for flooding. But you know, it's an emotional tie. Do people want to rehash, you know, going through, you know, getting a phone call? Hey, listen, your house is on fire. You know, what's the extent of the damage? Who do I call? You know, all that stuff is rolling through George's head. So I hope it was educational, and I think it was. I think it's really what the show is about getting you guys to get inside another person's not so much mindset as much as their experience, and to help you be better prepared for down the line if something like that happens in your house. The percentages are small still. I mean, we hear about fires and floods. We hear about natural disasters, wildfires, and the Mississippi floods, and the snow caps are melting later on. I'm going to talk to Jerry Giesinger from the Academy, the guru down there in Tennessee. Later on in the show, we'll rehash some of that stuff. But, you know, percentage-wise, the it's still a very small percentage on experiencing damage to your business or your home. So I think that's one of the reasons why I like the show so much, and the content of the show is because you have this opportunity to do your due diligence and you know, call your insurance broker or call your management company and say, listen, what if? Okay. And you know, this is America. We're all about, you know, liability and pointing fingers, and it's got to be somebody's fault. But, you know, sometimes things just happen, and Mother Nature definitely happens anytime she rears her ugly head. You know, having things in place, having phone numbers in place, little things. And I'll give you a little personal example that has nothing to do with property, but it has everything to do with being prepared. This past week, I had to do an emergency hernia operation. And, you know, you go through, okay, what happened, where's it hurt, all yada, yada, yada. But I take medication, okay? So I had the information regarding my medication because people go to the hospital, don't remember the milligrams or whatever. You know, I'm not a pharmacist, so I'm not going to go crazy with that one. But they don't know what they're taking. So their meds are given to them in the hospital, and some people get, you know, overdose, underdose. So having a little card with all that information is key. That's what, you know, that's a very simplistic thing that I'm talking about. But, you know, you have all the time in the world to just jot it down on the piece of paper and take several different meds. So have it in my wallet is key for me. But it's also, you know, now flip that over into the property side or the business side. Do you have those phone numbers that you need to call, like George? Okay, who did he call first? He called two personal friends for who live in his neighborhood. He's been friendly with for a long time. He was looking for that emotional support on what he's going to be experiencing over the next X amount of days because of this fire. His next phone call, he collected his thoughts, was to his insurance guy. So those, and he had the number, which was, again, due diligence on George's part. Those are the things that I try to, like, bang you over the head with constantly. And listen, the shoemaker and his kids walking around with no shoes. I was at fault a couple of years ago, had major flooding in our area. It was the first of two late March floods, 2 years in a row, and my house sat with water for a week. I just had no labor and no equipment to deal with my own home. But with that said, you really can get, and Jerry's gonna hit home on this later on when I get some questions for him, about talking to, listen, it's the summertime, you're relaxed, you know, people are on vacation. Some of the minutes could be used wisely, and you know, call your agent, or if whoever insurance carrier that you roll with, or you have, or you're I'm sorry, I just spaced out there for a second. Or your property manager, or even the city, if you live in public housing. You know, is there a contact person there? I mean, New York City's got 311. Jersey's starting to implement an information system also. I don't know when that's going to be rolled out. But, you know, just to have, you know, those things in place, it avoids all this anxiety. And losses and natural disasters aren't going away anytime soon. In fact, I touched on a little bit about last week. You know, 2011, just 6.5 months into it, we've exceeded any other year in natural disasters worldwide. You know, number-wise. And I think I was throwing out the crazy numbers at you last week with $265 billion in economic loss. Now, when they calculate that, for my reading and the information that I get on a daily basis, you know, that's what they're calculating. There's also the lives that will never generate money because unfortunately they died in a natural disaster. So there's money they can't really attach to anything. So and then you know, and families are displaced and both parents. So there's you know, I don't want to get too deep in it because it could be brings up bad memories for some people who have gone through these things. But you know, $265 billion and you know, 220 of it was for the Japan. And just for an example, you know, Katrina was $220 billion, and that's 1990. That's 2005. You know, so what is it going to be 6 years later? You know, so it could be easily $300 billion, and that's just one city. So with that, we got a good show today. I thought we'd just rehash, you know, especially with Joe and George from last week. We're really hitting the road, getting the rubber to the road with, you know, we're covering the personal side of it and the business continuity side of it, because both mesh together, and it's about preparedness and reporting about these disasters, because disasters are, you know, sizes and shapes, many forms. Little old fire, little old loss for some person is huge. But yet, for a business, it's, you know, a little blip on the screen. They got business continuity. They know where they're going to get their product from. So this is how it's all, you know, culmination, getting together. And it's one of the reasons I also joined the Service Master franchise, down there in Tennessee. And I was very fortunate that Jerry ran the academy down there. He and I become fast friends. We think alike. He's a Midwest guy. I'm an East Coast guy. A lot of similar thoughts on the process of loss and the psychological part. I remember last week George was talking about psychological effects of having, you know, people coming to your house. It's disruptive. You know, you're not going to work for X amount of days. His was actually a week because, you know, there was a lot involved over there. So Jerry's at the bottom of the hour. We have Felix Nader. I want to talk about, you know, we've talked about it before. You know who Felix is from Nader Associates. We talk about people and incidences at work, whether it's acts of violence or even HR part of it. That's part of business continuity. And I know Andy's listening. Andy Weitzberg, who's the president of the ACP out there on Long Island, with some other chapters. I know they're jumping on board and listening. Business continuity is a tax base. You know, preparedness. And there's a lot of businesses, just like homeowners, who need to have a plan in place. Let's go to a break. We'll pick up Felix. We'll talk about Norway and how that affects, you know, just like the Gifford situation out there in Arizona X amount of months back. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me? They're foreclosing on my
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues. Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every day, every Tuesday between 1 and 2. Any comments regarding this show, past shows? There's the podcast you can sign up. Go to drhradio.net. That's drhradio.net. You can sign up for the podcast. You put in your email address. It gets uploaded after the show and listen to it at your leisure. But also, we have a 1-800 number. It's 800-962-1160. That'll be filtered through Dave. And, you know, ask questions, regarding this content or the past shows. Because last week we had some questions come up on the comments page that the show was already over. And I had Joe, who was one of my guests last week, he responded to those, I think it was two or three questions. I didn't have the intel on it at that time. And so Joe did a good thing for me by reaching out and answering those questions. You know, I before we went to the break, we talked about psychological, with George going through with his own experience with this fire. You know, psychological part of this damage and these disasters, lack of a better term, is such a mindset that, you know, disrupts your life, it disrupts business, and couple of months, about a month ago, we had Steve Cremendo, you know, from Extreme Behavioral Management. You know, we talked about 9/11 and Katrina. You know, there's a mindset that's set afterwards and about, you know, different parts of society have different reaction, and some of them bury it and some of them don't. And then what just happened, which brings me up to my next guest, what just happened recently in Norway with those shootings and the bombing, what does that do to a country of pretty much, you know, the Scandinavian countries or always get high grade for living and society and so on and so forth? Not to say that they're not because of this incident, but, you know, what does it have to do with the disaster recovery? It's part of the whole pie. Remember, the disaster recovery hour is about property. It's about people. It's about human assets, capital intelligence, law enforcement, first responders. There's so many things that go into this program, and one of them is my guest on today is on the phone. Felix, how you doing?
Good, Chris. How are you doing today?
Felix has been a returning guest on many occasions regarding this type of format for disaster, and that's the workplace violence and incidents. Felix is the president of Nader Associates and is a certified security consultant. He's a retired postal inspector. Let me just, you know, I've said it a thousand times before when Felix would come on, 30 years in the business, president of the Northeast Chapter of Association of Threat Assessment Professionals. You know, Felix's boots on the grounds, been in the first responder business for quite so many years, and now is taking on to onto the consultant and security end of it. And I lean on Felix because you know some of the new we don't get real political on this program, but you know you get kind of a glassy-eyed review of an incident. You know, they show the pictures of a building and people, and but there's a mindset that goes along with it, and Felix is in that part of the security field. He's got expertise in what to look for and preventativeness, and it has to do with, you know, just like if I had Felix on last month about out on Long Island when that kid was all hopped up on drugs and went into the pharmacy and randomly killed people. But there were already signs. Again, this show's not about pointing fingers because I don't like that. I'm just talking about problem solving and, you know, but was there signs? And I saw this Norway thing and I'm like, I got to talk to Felix about this and, you know, let's talk about it on the show. So anyway, Felix, with that intro, I know I was talking fast because I'm really jumping right now. You and I spoke about it yesterday and your thoughts on it. These types of random acts are not that random.
No, they're not that random. And if you've been looking at the data, and the Department of Justice just recently issued their white paper on workplace violence this past March, and there'll be incidents of the single event of workplace violence, per se, has dropped dramatically by half, I think, to about 521 or 531. The interesting takeaway from all that data is that in up until 2008, there's been a significant increase in the kinds of disasters that we've just seen in Oslo, Norway, where one guy or two people will come in and have multiple targets that they want to go after, whether it's a targeted individual or just random shooting. So this event in Oslo, for me, affords me an opportunity to use it as a roadmap for my clients to start preparing their workplaces so that their employees know the prevention piece in advance, but more importantly, what to do when mayhem strikes their workplaces.
You know, my teacher would really hate when I said because, but one of the things that we talk about, you, Andy, some of the other association ACP guys, is the business interruption of it, and people don't realize one in four businesses after a disaster, whether it's natural or man made, they don't come back to business, and the remaining 3 or 75%. There's 50% of that fails in the next 2 years because of the plans that are not in place. Now, this is not your mom and pops, your pizzerias, but this is the largest employer in our country, I believe, is a company that employs, from 100 to 500 people. That's the largest employer throughout our country, and I would imagine it's the same in other areas. So when I look at the bombing, I look at that street, you know, they had government facilities, and you have regular businesses that might not come back.
Sure, that might not come back. And the interesting observation from this, and my takeaway from this, is that the mindset of this individual, and you talked about Mr. Cremendo, Steve and I go back a couple of years, we respectable individual in the industry on behavioral methodologies, and you know, we share some commonality in respect to what triggers these people and how rehearsed and premeditated they are. But of significance is, I think, without any evidence, that there may have been maybe one or two people, but certainly all the reports I've been reading right now seems to indicate one person. But the active shooter correlation here, that the person created a diversion only to go for his main target, which were the kids. Oh, and by the way, a camp program that was hosted by a rival political party, the Labor Party. So what's not to say that this thing was not all part of the person's ultimate plan under that mindset called the active shooter to create a diversion mm-hmm. and then go after his real target?
Yeah, and that seems to be the mantra. I know down in where was it with the bombing of the hotel? Their primary targets were the two hospitals.
They exactly. Want,
you know, so again, you know, Disaster Recovery Hour, we talk about property, talk about fires, talk about floods, but we also talk about people because that's the driving force behind, you know, the responsive to natural disasters and man-made disasters. And for you to give my listeners just something to think about, you know, with Rick Gimbel, the OEM director out there in the township of Islip, which is, you know, 350,000 people. See something, say something. That's the world we live in. I mean, that's Europe's been having that. Again, we're not a political show, and I'm not going to really go down that too far. But, you know, our country needs to be start taking that a closer look. You know, from downtown, you know, there's a heavy campaign by the government, you know, NYC.gov, NewJersey.gov, you know, across the country, see something, say something. And these are the things that, you know, as a public service announcement, almost, if you will, is for you and to facilitate through me is, hey, you know, see something, say something. Something's out of the ordinary. Yeah, is there random? There's random. But there's, you know, one of my questions to you is, you know, is there a communication before these types of things? Post.
Yes. Well, let me take you back for a moment. I said to you that following the Bedford shooting, that somebody in the community, if they just thought about the events that led up to the shooting, would recognize a suspicious activity. And sure as we know it, a neighbor did spot a suspicious lady sitting in a car. Yes, these people communicate up to certain phases and stages of their operation, their intentions. Whether or not they're communicated to the people who are going to convey that to police agencies is another story. But they intend to make a splash. But generally, they commit suicide. In this particular incident, in the Oslo incident, the guy wanted to hang around to see the fruits of his efforts for some strange reason.
Yeah.
But normally, they commit suicide.
Which
from a business perspective, here's the gold nugget I want to leave. 70%, and this is the data that's been hanging out there for the last 10 years, 70% of employers, U.S.-based employers, do not have a workplace violence policy or a plan in place. And I think it's directly connected to this myth. It won't happen here. It's not going to happen at my place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate.
And where do you think, you know, is it a resistance, or it's just like people having life insurance? I'm not going to die, so I'm not going to have it.
It's a combination of the both. I think that the connotation of workplace violence drives people who are normal, prudent people, thinkers, to avoid that whole discussion because my employees aren't violent.
Mm.
So I'm saying, you know, change the vernacular to whatever you want to, employee safety and security, but you better have a plan that is not reactive unless it's trained to a proper reaction and response that says this is what you do before you get to a bad guy shooting situation, and this is what you do when the bad guy shooter comes into your building so you can minimize risk.
Yeah. I mean, and this is all about business continuity. This is part of the package.
Absolutely.
You know, just because you know, the river overflows and goods and services can't be, like we're talking with Jerry about a couple months ago with Mississippi, the ripple effects started hitting the Northeast about a month later. Japan and the earthquake out there took about a month, because, you know, I mean, manufacturers have about a month's supply. I mean, I'm not an economist, but I can. Good business would have a month's supply of goods to give to their clients, and then, you know, obviously going into mass production and so on and so forth. So, but have the earthquake, have the Mississippi River overflow, and then, you know, you have a month, and then all of a sudden there's a ripple effect. The ripple effect of business continuity is not being in a place. Okay, so you have 10 employees. You know, I've seen it. A good buddy of mine, family business. I'm not going to go into who he was or what they did. It was a retail store. You know what? Economic bad times. 23 people are out of work. You know, so
that's right. That's right.
You can't prevent economic downturns. I understand that, but it's just one. It's just having those plans. In fact.
Absolutely. And Steve Commander will tell you this, as the negative impact of an incident in the post cleanup phase is quantifiable. You have employees who have exposed to this trauma who now are expecting the company to relieve them of their stresses, to provide the support and assistance that they need. These people, depending upon how mistreated they are or how well-treated they may be, will be negative impactors on your business, affecting your business operations over the long haul and the recovery phase.
Right. Yeah. It's something that again, you're out there all the time. I know I catch you. Thank God I got you. At your desk, because I know you're traveling a lot. I appreciate your comments on the subject. I thought about you automatically, and I wanted to bring it to light. You know, again, you'll be you're a valued individual for myself, and I think my listeners appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, it's about the whole package, you know, the whole package of disaster restoration, disaster recovery, business continuity, people's lives, psychological, and again, it's almost public service. Felix, always a pleasure. Thanks for the couple minutes. I know you're busy. I'll reach out for you soon enough. Nader Associates, anyone wants to go on the website? Felix, what's your website quickly?
www.naderassociates.com, and Nader is spelled N-A-T-E-R.
Great. And then I also have a link off on my website to you. Let's go to a commercial break and pay a couple of bills. And thank Felix again. Thanks. Take care.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold, CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did. At least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated. A full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. sparkies.com or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
And welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2. Our comments page is on drhradio.net if you want to throw something out to us. We do have a comment from Ron. I'll answer that in just a second. But again, it's drhradio.net. We'll be going to our guest, Jerry, in a couple of seconds. Ron, your question is, I suppose large stadiums, etc., would have these programs. This is referencing Felix and his expertise. Would have large stadiums, etc., would have these programs in place, Madison Square Garden, etc., sports complexes. You know, the Garden has its own security force, and from my understanding, I know the property management company that runs the Garden. They do have these things in place. The large venues, they do have incidents protocols and first responders, and they do a lot of drilling. I know that firsthand from some of the information, some of the guys that I get to talk to because of the show. They don't go on the radio. They're not real, you know, public guys, but they say, well, you might want to mention this or might want to mention that. So the due diligence is being done, and it reminds me of something about with local municipalities, like here in Jersey or up in Westchester and out on the island. They do a lot of drilling, and I know you get some of these people say, weekend warriors, you know, they just want to take, you know, put the sirens on, get the red trucks out there and speed around the place. You know, it really comes down to you have to do a certain amount of testing. The government, the federal government, is watching the state government, which is watching the counties do their due diligence on their response times and their protocols. So if you do see guys out in boats and dredging the river and stuff like that, most likely it's a mock. It's a test. But they're required to do those things. They're always testing because you always get better. I completely agree with that. Ron, I hope I answered the question. I do have, Ron, I'm going to revisit that because one of my guests in a couple of weeks is from NRC, Chris Green. Now he's an ex-State Department guy and a first responder, and he's been on a different OEM task force. We're going to revisit that question for you. So be on the heads up for that. I want to say thanks for Felix again. It's in the news. I wanted to talk about it because it's been talked about before in the show. It's about business continuity. Keep staying in business, paying bills, and this is what we do. We work in this country, and it's a capitalistic society, and so producing dollars, and again, it's not a political program, but there's a driving force. There's such a connection with disruption, with fires and floods and natural disasters that affect businesses, and they don't come back, and people are displaced, and so there's a lot of parts of this puzzle that, it sounds like, what are we talking about, Oslo and Norway for? That stuff happens here also. Mrs. Gifford getting, stumping down there at the grocery store, getting shot by that nut job. That affected that grocery store. There was 50 people out of work for a while. They didn't know what, did they want to go back to work? Those are all things come into play. But let me jump into my next guest, who was not a guest to me, is a good friend, Jerry Giesinger. Jerry, you there?
I am here. Good morning, Chris.
Morning. Jerry is the director of the Disaster Restoration Academy down in Memphis, Tennessee for Service Master. Everyone knows now that I'm part of the Service Master family. It's been a good experience. And it just happened to be this past week, Jerry, with the operation, I called on one of my local Service Master guys who took over a job for me that I couldn't look at, and things went swimmingly, rant and raved, and we got good check marks, if you will. So that's a tribute to being part of the Service Master family and being able to lean on my feathered brethren. So I appreciate that. So how's things down there in Memphis?
Oh, things are doing fine, Chris. By the way, that situation probably went well because of all your great training you had.
I agree. I guess the money and the flowers paid off.
That's right. Hey, thanks for having me back on the program. Yeah, things are great here in Memphis, although it's our typical hot season of the year. We're about 98 degrees and about 97% relative humidity, so This is not the vacation garden of the country right now, but we just started up a new QRV Academy this week, so we're busy there, and I'm actually talking to you from the Service Master Plane Training Center here in Memphis.
Well, you know, we were down in convention a couple weeks ago, and yeah, it was a nice balmy 90-some degrees with the humidity up in the high 90s also. Good if you want to cut weight if you're a wrestler.
That's correct.
But,
that's correct.
You know, for the folks that haven't heard Jerry before, Jerry is runs the Academy, Disaster Restoration Academy for Service Master, and Jerry and I have similar thoughts on the processes, as well as other guys, but I seem, for me personally, I took a liking to Jerry because he gets right to it and he talks about what needs to be done in losses, in fires, in floods, and I think about George, my guest from last week with his fire, and I also think about, you know, Felix Nader giving me the intel on, you know, the mindset of, you know, creating havoc, and because Jerry, you and I live in the world of havoc, you know. People have floods and fires their whole lives, whether it's business or residential. It comes to a screeching halt, and they need help.
Yeah, perfect example of that, Chris, is, and as you well know, I just spent a little bit of time up in Minot, North Dakota, and many of your listeners might have a hard time finding the state of North Dakota, let alone the city itself, because it's not something that's in the news, if you will. North Dakota is way out there someplace, very cold, very whatever. It's hometown for me, born and raised in that area, went to school there, operated businesses there, did a little political stint there as a city alderman. Many of my friends, lifelong friends, are there. I have relatives there. They have just gone through and are still in the middle of, if you will, probably the most traumatic and upsetting disaster that they've had on record, a major, major, major flood, which... they'll recover from eventually, but it'll, you know, that city will just never be the same. But it is definitely a trauma, and they're in a situation where in some areas of that city the water has not even gone receded out yet, and this flood actually had a river that crested back on June 28th.
It's a month.
12,000 people, almost better than a third, or almost a third of the city had to be evacuated, and some of those folks are not back in yet. Water 6, 8, 10 feet high on main floors of homes and into the attics. And for those of you that geographically aren't aware in temperature, time, and weather aware, whatever, of that part of the country, they're about 3 months away from looking at potential snow. So they have their backs against the wall, but I think they will cover. But really a great amount of devastation.
Yeah, you and I spoke several times being down in Mississippi, right on the riverbanks of the Mississippi and the flooding, and you had told me and the listeners that listen, we're going to have a situation in another month with the late snow melting up coming and affecting that. And that's the driving force behind the flood. You know what? It's not even on the back page of any papers or even in, you know, the last 3 seconds of newscasts. It's just, it's not there anymore. And these are the things that, you know, as you and I speak often about, you know, driving home on the program, and how can we facilitate the information to get better prepared for our citizens? Because I look at, you know, we talk United States is $23.5 billion for 6.5 months this year in damage. Now, a large, you know, you talk about the tornadoes takes a big part of it now, but the other is the Mississippi and your old neck of the woods that people don't even realize what's happening. And there's goods and produce that are getting produced out of there. And now we get the snowfall. It's just on the back page. Where do you think that should lie on a daily knowledge part?
Well, I think part of it, I think it's an awareness that should be forefront. I mean, there's one differentiator between what happens in certain parts of the country versus other.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular part of the country, for example, it won't make a lot of news because it's not demanding to be made. Now, what I mean by that is these people, certainly FEMA is there. You're having support agencies from across the country, the different charitable organizations, support groups, church groups, those people that travel the country, if you will, in support of those people that need help because of a natural catastrophe of some sort. They're all there. But what isn't there is the need for necessarily the financial support. These people will get it done, and they'll get it done in their own way. I'll give you an example of that. Out of 12,000 people that were evacuated, less than 200 sought help in, or shelter in one of the shelters that were set up. FEMA, for example, didn't have a clue how to handle with that or work with that. That was unexpected. Where did those people go? They went to friends, relatives, and so on that housed them. They have a can-do spirit. They're not waiting around for the help and the assistance. And because it doesn't have that that sensationalism to it, because of that issue, it won't make the news.
Yeah, that's a valid point. A can-do situation, which is one of the things that you know you and I talked about, and which some of my other guests would talk about, is you know don't wait around for FEMA. You know, have that plan in place. And again, you're not going to take it. You're not going to keep 8 feet of water from your house. I get that, but it could trickle down. And you know what you preach in the academy about? Okay, yeah, do we know how to clean water? You know, dry out a building and deal with fires and such like that. But what could have been done to minimize or mitigate further damage? And those are the things that that service master and I think you and I were talking about it yesterday, about you know it's almost getting that word out. There are some ABCs that can be done. The Mississippi, up where in your old neck of the woods, you know, that's, you know, they're going to get it done because they're not going to sit around. That's the kind of thing we need to have all across our country, is don't wait around for the government.
Yeah, these people are just waiting to get back in. That river crested on June 28th. They actually started experiencing some flood back in April is when it really started. And if I've got the numbers correctly, I think there was an exposure to above flood stage for a total of like 78 days, of which 53 of those days were consecutive above flood stage. I lived through the 1969 flood in Minot, North Dakota, which was a record-breaking flood at that time, which is one they won't talk about anymore because the 2011 is going to take its place. But that water was actually, this year, the water was actually 8 feet higher. The crest was 8 feet higher, 8 feet higher than 1969. Phenomenal amount of damage. These people have been out of their homes for a couple of 3 months. Now they're just getting a chance to get in to start stripping out the drywall, and they're working now. They're in those areas they didn't get in. They were parked, if you will, with the engines running, saying, "Let me get to my house." What hasn't happened yet? FEMA, for example, is still trying to decide where to place a few trailers for them to live in. And I understand the bureaucracy of getting those things done, those are the kind of things that don't make the notoriety or don't make the media press.
Yeah. You know, Jerry, after thousands of losses you've had, I've had, you know, the one constant thing is the psychological effect. And, getting back to doing it is probably the best medication, mental first aid you can possibly do, is let me get at it instead of sitting around waiting.
I had people, I spent two or three days up there just the day right after the crest, Chris, when that river crested, and I spent some time there to be assisted because, as I said, I spent 30-some years in that community as a part of it. I knew a lot of people. I spent a close friend with the mayor and city council people and county commissioners and so on. So I tried to be assisted there in visiting with them and offering assistance we could. Many of my friends are there, and I've got to tell you, sat there with friends in arms crying, because they just didn't know, you know, how to go about it and what to do. Definitely traumatic.
Yeah, and one of the things that I keep on thinking about, and I was, you know, thinking about it the other night when I was after my operation, like, you know, what am I not doing on the prepare side? You know, I'm just thinking about that. And then I started thinking about you, and then I'm thinking, you know, the SRM, you know, with is now separate but not separate entity of Service Master. These are large loss catastrophe of our fellow Service Master people. And yes, am I plugging Service Master? Of course I am. But what I love about it is the guys have the same conviction of getting to the problem and problem solving. Now you have FEMA, and I'm not going to knock FEMA. You know, it is bureaucracy,
no.
and you know, they got their own problems to fight. But to get up there, like you going up there and lending, even the moral support is huge. And that mindset needs to be, you know, the worst neighborhood you can go to is in between your ears.
Well, so, I think that's a key point for anybody that's dealing with people who have gone through some disaster of some sort, is that sense of compassion, that sense of sympathy. And what you really want to do is be able to put yourself in their position.
Right.
You know, sometimes we have a tendency of coming on too strong, but yet if we take the role of saying, what if it was me in that situation, how would I want to be treated? And then you reverse that back and communicate appropriately. And I think what that does is gives that individual that you're dealing with a sense of, hey, comfort, that this person is there thinking of my best interest and is trying to help me out. Because the nuts and bolts of it are there. The nails are there, and the screws are there, and the drywall is there. And the wood. That doesn't move. I mean, that stuff will stand on its own.
Right.
It's how you deal with the psychological impact of it that can make the rest of that go very easily.
Yeah. We're going to go to a station break. It is Disaster Recovery Hour. I've got a comment for Jerry, drhradio.net, drhradio. Be right back. drhradio.net. Be right back. Thanks.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch. Truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47. Heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable. But when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. On the line, my guest today is Jerry Giesner. He's the Academy Director down at the Service Master Disaster Restoration Academy down in Memphis, Tennessee. Jerry, got a quick question from Brian, I'm going to real quick because we're running tight, and I wish I'm going to have to, you know, you'll have to come back again. Obviously, you're going to be coming back thousands more times.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah,
but one of the things that was appealing to me with Service Master, because I didn't want to lose my own identity, you know, because Chris Plunkett, you know, CBP Emergency Services is, you know, I had the personal touch. Service Master let me still keep that, and that, and, you know, hence the reason, you know, having, being in the hospital, getting an oil spill in a big building and fumes at going up the wazoo in New York City. I had my fellow guys represent me, come in, it's Service Master, boom, the job is done perfectly. So that's one of the things I think the ACP is the same thing, and Associated Contingency Planners. People, you know, these groups, my group, the Service Master, ACP, they care about what you and I are discussing, is the psychological issues that come along with disasters. You know, you just don't want some guy coming and banging out and say, listen, it's insurance, it's the city of New York, they're paying for it, don't worry about
exactly.
it. You don't want that. And that's what was the largest appealing thing when Joe Sloyan talked to me. I said, listen, I don't want to lose my identity, because I care about each individual job. The question from Brian from the web creation is, I have not heard about North Dakota, so there it is right there, Jer. No one's even really heard about it. Said, you would think FEMA and Red Cross would do their best to get it in the news for donation purposes. There you go. There's it right there, right out there in the front.
Yeah, and that's and I would encourage you, dude, if he wants to follow up on a little bit, you can go to kxnews.net. That is a local TV station up there that did a great job of covering that, and you'll find some background on it. And you can also go to the minotdailynews.net if the readers want to, or listeners want to follow along with some of the progress being made. And FEMA and the Red Cross, by the way, is doing a fantastic job. They had several centers set up there. I don't know why they're not using it anymore for publicity to raise funds, but FEMA's also done a great job. They've gotten some high accolades for their work on putting together loan processing and reimbursements, so, you know, the level of reimbursements that they will get. So, and they have that bureaucracy they have to go through, and that protocol they have to go through. So, they have been well received.
Yeah, it is a frustrating part of it. And you're talking with my ACP guys, and you know they're starting to really work with more with the government. I was telling you about yesterday, but the government really wants business to help each other, and business to help FEMA and the national government, the federal government, to assist with them in getting people back up in order. I got another question is. From SB, I don't know who SB is, but it says, what state requires the most disaster relief assistance on average? For me, there is the Multi-Hazard Mitigation Council, which is a federally funded program, MMC, if you wanted to go on the Google that. It does tell you, breaks down the dollar amounts per state. But, Jer, in your 30 years of being in the disaster relief assistance and restoration, what do you see at the most states getting the most assistance on an annual basis?
I would believe you'd be the southeastern states, hurricane prone.
Yeah,
those states, whether it be Florida, along the Gulf Coast area, probably.
Yeah. And now, you know, the evolution of what we do for a living. So a question was posed to me last week about does the insurance company force somebody on you as an insured or a business owner to use a certain company? And you know, people nowadays, everyone's a little leery about, okay, is there collusion, is there, you know, was there hanky panky? That stuff used to happen, and you know it and I know it, but the industry is a lot more regulated, pricing is more regulated, and it's made the guys who do the right job stay in business longer, and the guys who are a little on the shady business, they've moved on and done something else. That's my opinion. That's what I've seen, the traction.
I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things that's happened with the insurance industry is they've had to, if you will, their performance and retention is a big issue for them. Think about it. With the amount of foreclosures we have in the country right now, the customer base for the insurance industry has shrunk. You still have the renter's insurance and so on, but those homeowners out there, that number has shrunk. So the insurance industry and those companies are sharpening their skill sets on customer retention and customer acquisition.
Yeah, and that leads us into the people we're part of, you know, the Service Masters of the world, of United States and the world also, because we know we have that contingency out there and out in Japan, and that was actually at the convention. That was a very good segment that woman put on, but yeah, you know, because you know, It's like going to buy a car. Everyone's leery about buying the car. The salesman, you know, it's so regulated now that, you know, you got to do the right thing, and it's not worth nickels and dimes to do the wrong thing. So the insurance carrier, like you said, they want the premium retention, so they're going to align themselves up with companies, the Service Masters world, with Chris Plunkett and Jerry Giesinger and Brian up in Westchester, my guys in Long Island here in Jersey, and throughout the country with the other 26 guys I went to the academy with, and it's 4,300 franchisees and Service Master. You know, they're carrying a brand recognition that the insurance carrier is putting a lot of pressure on us to do X, Y, and Z. So for the insureds listening out there, you know what? There isn't any hanky panky going on. It's you got to fly straight, or you're out of business.
The QRV program within Service Master, which stands for Quality Restoration Vendor Program, as you know, Chris, is one that was actually. Was given birth, if you will, by the demands and requirements of the insurance industry, of its vendors that are going to be working on behalf of their policyholders. And the program that we put in place just raises the bar and the standard for our franchisees, and they go through annual reviews and so on, the annual compliance issues, the standards change, but it's all been put in place in an effort to provide the best quality service possible to the insurance industry and the insurance company's policyholders. It's a cut above others that you might see, and that's why those insurance companies will align themselves with service providers who have raised the bar within their own organizations.
And I think, you know, I'm a broken record. You know, most of the time, you remember losses, you spend a lot of time trying to put the mindset at ease of that insured or that business owner. Hey, when am I going to be back in business? You know, I have employees, I have bills to pay. Just like home, you know, I don't want to stay in a hotel. My kids like to eat meals at home, not in the restaurant. I got a great comment from Margie, who threw it in here. Jared, this is a good one. It says, I've gone through Service Master people in the past and was happy with their service. Again, we're talking about Service Master because I'm part of the family now, and Jerry was instrumental in teach me. I knew a lot of things in 20 years of being in this business, but Jerry's really honed my skill. So, but back to the question, it says, I'm currently, she said she was very happy with the Service Master people. It says, I'm currently recovering from a flood, and my insurance company put me in touch with another company that I'm not happy with. Does Service Master work with specific insurance companies? We do. Jerry, you can answer that even better.
Yeah, there are national programs and national carriers that Service Master has aligned itself with and put various programs together, each having its own little nuances to it, but all in an effort of meeting the needs of that individual carrier's policyholders, yes. Yeah.
Any questions for Jerry or myself, drhradio.net, that is drhradio.net. Throw a comment out there. Jerry can go on my webpage. He can answer it. It's going to be transferred over into another webpage. Don't worry about it. And Jerry's going to be with me with the show for a long time. He's got the instrumental intelligence that I need. And thanks for listening. And let's get one more disaster. Let's end the war. Let's bring home our troops. God bless. Take care.